Our first reading is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that is. The Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promised in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches in Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. And from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east at its rising, and we have come to pay homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah had been born. Where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I also may pay my respects." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where Jesus lay. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Lee. A box. W- Why are those gifts so important? Next slide, please, Anita. You may not be able to read it, but this is after the three wise men left, the three wiser women arrived with gifts of fresh nappies, casseroles for a week, and lots of baby formula. A fairly popular cartoon among my friends, or variations thereof around Christmas, along with commentary of what a drummer boy would mean to a sleeping child. Just go away, yeah. But we have these three mysterious visitors from the East who come bearing gifts. And these gifts are symbols. The first gift, if you can afford it, it's the gift that everyone enjoys, isn't it? They brought gold. I've actually been reading a book on British royal history from the first kings, from the mythical Arthur all the way through to Henry VIII and the end of his dynasty, so the Elizabethan age. And when one king brings another king gold, what's it saying? I might be a king, but you are my king. They are coming. Gold. I think we spoke about the talents of gold, didn't we? We spoke about the talents of gold. It was what client kings like Herod would send. Herod would send to Rome to say, yes, I'm king, but I'm only king because you let me be. So this is actually a promise saying, you are my king. It is more than just an easily transferable asset that everyone seems to accept. Not much better than bowerbirds, are we? The next gift, and this is the real thing, frankincense. Yeah, you've got a little bit of smell in there. Only gets opened up every couple of years. If I was to put some of this powder in the candle, you'd know about it. This is the smell of the temple. This is a smell, even in modern religion, some of the more traditional religions will use frankincense in their candles and their censers to indicate that the presence of the holy is here. So they're not just saying this is our king, but they're saying this is a different sort of king. It's really straight because it worked perfectly well. To 8. Worked absolutely perfectly well at 20 minutes to 8 with four witnesses. Yep, I'll go back and behave myself. So we have frankincense. This king is a king who brings the presence of the holy into the world. This one certainly smells a little bit more. Myrrh. Myrrh is still used occasionally. It's, as you see, it's a sap of a tree. It can be used, it's a sterilizing agent. So it has been used in healing medications, balms and things like that. Still is used to a lesser extent today in alternative medicine. But the big use of myrrh was to cover the smell of decaying meat, or to cover the smell of decay in how they used to have tombs. A very different sort of king, isn't it? So even if we sing a dodgy hymn, it's good to sit back and think about what these three gifts mean in the way that hymn does.
Because we come today to this table.
We come to the Lord's table to celebrate the King does so much. Died for us. He loves us so much. He loves us so much. He rose again, lives for us today and to eternity. We come and we celebrate. Let's see if there just seems to be a dodgy little connection there somewhere. We come and we celebrate. And if I'm going to lead communion, I need to have it working here. We come and we celebrate that this God came to us not as a king who the horrible history of human kings shows us was all about maintaining power and control for their own benefit and the benefit of their friends, but rather came to give his very self so that we could be part of what God is doing. And it's that which Paul writes about today. It's about that says, look, not through my own power, not through my own even desires. He got totally turned around, didn't he? But he got given this great news that even these people he considered foreigners, he considered to be second-class citizens in God's plan of grace. Jesus came and invited. Jesus came to make whole. Jesus came to call into new ways being of life, of love. And I think that underestimates the most important gift of all. Next slide, please, Nita. They dropped their lives. They gave up whatever important, mysterious, wise things they were doing and said, God, we have to be there. We have to give honour to you. Here, take our lives and use them. And so we, every Sunday in our own little way, we come, we say, God, we are here. We wish to bring you honour for all that you have done, all that you are, and all that you promised for us. Take us, make us part of your kingdom, and use us so that your love and your peace and your hope and your joy may be known here in this place and through all the world. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining us. Happy New Year. And may we live in that commitment and that hope together. Amen. So now we're going to sing, We Three.